It's Essential Pittsburgh, and I'm Paul Guggenheimer, sitting in the cavernous campaign headquarters in East Liberty for one Bill Peduto. The Pittsburgh City Councilman is now the Democratic nominee for mayor. Tuesday, Mr. Peduto won the Democratic primary, defeating former State Auditor General Jack Wagner by just over 5,000 votes. State Representative Jake Wheatley finished third, and A.J. Richardson a distant fourth. Peduto will go on to face Republican Josh Wander in the November general election, but since Pittsburgh hasn't had a Republican mayor since 1934, most agree now it's a foregone conclusion that Bill Peduto will be Pittsburgh's next mayor. Councilman Peduto, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
Congratulations on your victory last night. Your first run for this office was in 2005. 8 years later, how does it feel to be so close to your goal?
Exhausted. It's just very tired. We put in a lot of work to get to this point. Between 2005 and this year, there has been so much change within the city of Pittsburgh. And in some ways, you feel like the city has changed so much that it caught up. But there's still a lot more that can be done, and there's still a lot more that will happen within this town. It's changing. It's a city in transition. And those past 8 years have given me an opportunity probably to learn a heck of a lot more than what I thought I knew back then.
Jack Wagner was ahead in the polls until the latter stages of the race. Was there a time when you thought that this still may not be your year?
No. There was one time. It was around 7:30 last night, the night of the election. That was the only time that I really got a pit in my stomach that we could not win this.
Why is that?
The turnout. And the turnout that was low, and where the votes were coming in about an hour later, and where we hadn't gotten numbers yet, with concerned about what the turnout was in the west, how we were doing in the north side, what was happening in the hill, and just a lot of, you know, different variables that were going through my mind. But Jack was up by 7 points 5.5 weeks out when we started our television campaign. He was already on the air and spent double the amount of money that we did on television and radio. Luke came on board, spent $300,000 more just attacking us. We got really outspent. We're down by 7 points. The establishment's all supporting the other campaign. And we just kept trudging along. We knew what we needed to do in order to win on election day. And we kept hitting our goals. We set benchmarks, and we tested, and we measured, and we tested, and we measured every 3 days. And we knew where we needed to get the votes and basically who the people were that were going to be voting. And so I didn't really fear that because I hired really good people, smart people.
Jack Wagner says the negative campaign ads that you ran were a key to your victory. What do you say in response?
I actually believe that the tone of his ads and the Ravenstahl ads backfired. I think that the Ravenstahl ads were so over the top and were so negative on a personal level. They just went after me. They didn't even go after things that I voted for. It was just attacks against me. Jack's surrogates who were in the field and who were on speaking on his behalf all attacked me on personal issues, name-calling. And what we said was we'll do a comparison between my record and Jack's record on what we did either in the state capitol or city hall. And I think that's why it changed. I think that even though they spent double the amount of money, they ended up losing, and even to the point where Wagner supporters voted for us on election day because of the tone of their campaign.
Is it fair to say that you, to a greater or lesser extent, engaged in negative campaigning yourself?
Well, we certainly had an ad which compared my record on pay raises and what I've done on city council to support budgets that help and expand programs against Jack's record on the same issues. But I think that it's also fair that the voters should be given an opportunity to hear what and why you feel you're different. There's no doubt that what we put out on those ads was factual. Both newspapers said that it was factual. But the fact is that when they decided to do the same thing, to use an attack, they didn't use it on voting records. They made it on personal issues and name-calling. And I think that that is more of a reason why their campaign went in the opposite direction in the final weeks.
Mr. Wagner also attributed his loss to the low voter turnout. You talked about that. He says that 22,000 people showing up to vote for you makes him wonder about whether we're going about this the best way. When you think about the size of the people that voted for you, it certainly seems like a lot, and it was certainly more than Jack Wagner or any other candidate got. Why do you think that there is so much less engagement from the public than we might expect?
Well, it's not this election. I mean, just go back 2 years ago, the county exec race, both Fitzgerald and Flaherty spent over $1 million each on their campaigns, and there were 38,000 people that showed up to vote in the city of Pittsburgh. We actually increased the voting turnout by 20% over what was a very contested race from 2 years ago. We knew basically who was going to turn out, and then we did something that their campaign didn't. We pushed our base. We made sure that the folks that were in our geographic base, our demographic base, the people that we thought would vote for us or had a very high likelihood were out on election day. By 2 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon on election day, we could tell whether those folks had voted or not. And if they hadn't, they started getting a second round of phone calls, personal phone calls, not robocalls. We sent crews out knocking on the doors and had vans out to pick them up and take them. We pushed the numbers. That's why you saw a bump of 20% increase from 2 years ago for the county exec race to the mayor's race. And a lot of those people who decided to vote came out of the areas where we did very well, and that was not a coincidence.
Do you feel that you have a mandate at this point, or do you feel like there are more people that you would like to win over?
When you're in a four-way race and you end up with over half of the people voting for you, you have a mandate. And I don't care what the turnout is in a campaign of, or what the race is for. When you have four people and it gets split that one of the four has over 50%, there's a mandate. And the mandate's quite clear. It's a mandate to clean up City Hall. It's a mandate that people are not happy with the way that city government's been operating. It hasn't been a city that's open for business. It's been a city that's for sale. And there has been the same group, the same cabal that has been running this city for 40 years. They want a clean sweep of the city. They want to see new people brought in. And they want to see the ability for this city government to be something that they can be proud of.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is the winner of Tuesday's Democratic mayoral primary, Bill Peduto. In your victory speech, you said, quote, "We stand at the dawn of a new Pittsburgh, one that builds from our past with a vision for the future," end quote. The new Pittsburgh that you envision is comprised of what exactly?
Well, it's basically a paradigm shift in the way that we view power. We have and have had since the days of Davy Lawrence a top-down structure for the way that power is in the city of Pittsburgh. It's a relic of an industrial age that there are a few people downtown that basically decide what the core priorities of the city are, and then they make sure that the government adheres to them. When we talk about a new Pittsburgh, it turns that pyramid upside down, and it decentralizes power to give people more of a say of what's happening in their own neighborhoods. People still view the mayor's office as this spokesperson for the region, when what really needs to happen is we need somebody who is actually doing something about our neighborhoods. If we lose our core, if we lose the heart of the region, the city, this region will still do okay, but it will do okay with prosperity along the edges. My goal is to make this region stronger by improving its heart, the city of Pittsburgh. That's what the new Pittsburgh is about. It's about engaging people and allowing them more of a say in the process, and in so doing, empowering them to allow innovative ideas to occur in every neighborhood throughout the city.
Specifically, how would you do that? What would you do differently from, say, what the current mayor has done to allow people more access and opportunity?
Give you a couple examples. One would be on development. Instead of looking at big box development as a way that we should be promoting and putting money behind, looking instead at small businesses. And not only in small businesses, but business districts that haven't seen any development for decades, and providing incentive programs that can be spread between dozens of small businesses instead of just one big development. the idea of trying to land the big fish, a big corporate giant, to come here is not only unlikely, but the energy of helping small businesses to be able to expand and grow here and giving them a culture of a city government that actually is working on their behalf has more of a likelihood to help our local economy. And then things like policing. And again, it comes down to decentralizing power. More power to the zone commanders to be able to make changes in neighborhoods, more of an ability to create strategies neighborhood by neighborhood, and more of a community-oriented policing model instead of a top-down model that comes from downtown.
The envisioning that you have of a new Pittsburgh, and you mentioned David Lawrence, who was the author of the first renaissance in Pittsburgh, and there's since been a second renaissance as we talk about improvements, cleaning up the city, getting rid of pollution, which in David Lawrence's time was a really big problem, modernizing, which we've seen through the second renaissance. So are you envisioning a third renaissance, if you will?
I think I'm envisioning more of a reformation than a renaissance. But at the same time, we have to look back at what it was Lawrence did. Lawrence created the model that we live by now. It's a model that basically created the URA in the Allegheny Conference in the city of Pittsburgh. And it took on the challenges of turning an industrial area of downtown into a corporate area of downtown. But then it went over to the north side and it demolished the heart of the old Allegheny City and put in a shopping mall. And then it went out to East Liberty and it demolished the heart of the city's second busiest shopping district and put a racetrack around it, and then went out to the hill and demolished the heart of the hill and built a big arena with parking lots all around it. That top-down type of government is the same top-down model that has continued mayor after mayor after mayor, all of them trying to ride the Davy Lawrence machine the same way that he did. What I envision is changing that model around, and it's not being a top-down type power structure, but as I stated before, a more decentralized model. That's the next great move for the city of Pittsburgh. That's what cities around the world have understood for decades now. That's what still holds us back. That's the vestige of the old political machine that allows the corruption that you see in city government to continue. Once you take away that, then you have unlimited options and opportunities for people who want to be a part of creating a new Pittsburgh.
During the mayoral debate held last week at our 90.5 WESA studios, you referred to the divisiveness in city government. Assuming you win in November, what steps will you need to take to improve your relationship with members of city council, those that you have a somewhat contentious relationship with?
When I took office in 2002, the council was split 6-3. I was one that was considered an ally of Tom Murphy, the mayor at the time. And then you had people like Alan Hertzberg, Jim Furlow, and Bob O'Connor, who were viewed as his adversaries. In the 19 years that I've been down there, there has never been a 9-0 council that's been with a mayor. And I would argue that that would be dangerous. Dissent is democracy. Not everyone's going to agree on policy, and you should have those that are divided and separate. That's good for public discourse. That's really good for transparency, and it's something that I wouldn't try to change. What I don't like about it is the personal attacks, where it goes beyond the policy and it becomes personalized. So what I'll try to do is elevate the discussion, elevate the debate, and when dragged down into the mud of the personal name-calling, not respond with anything other than a policy response. I think that would go much further than any way of trying to get 9 members of council all to support you.
How do you need to work with Harrisburg to get the things that Pittsburgh needs?
The first thing we need is not to get out of Act 47. We need to stay under Act 47 until our financial house is in order, as they say. What we need is a plan that is the final 5-year plan that is met with benchmarks, and that once we have met those benchmarks, then we're out of Act 47. I've had the support of the Senate leader, Jay Costa, the Democratic Senate leader. I have the support of the leader of the House, Frank Dermody, and the caucus chair, Dan Frankel. I have contacts throughout the state that I've gotten to know in order to be able to have personal support from elected leaders all throughout the state of Pennsylvania. What you need, though, is not just Pittsburgh. You need a united front with Pittsburgh in Erie, in Bethlehem, in Harrisburg, in York, in Butler, in Washington, PA, in all the third-class cities around the state of Pennsylvania. As the former mayor of Meadville, Richard Friedberg, said to me, a good friend of mine, he said, Bill, we have the same problems as you. You just have more zeros. And I think that once we put together a united plan of how we can help our older core communities, and we have a leader in Pittsburgh who helps to lead that effort, then you'll see great change occur, not just in the city of Pittsburgh, but throughout all of Pennsylvania.
We've talked on the show about how the problems of current mayor Luke Ravenstahl and his administration have overshadowed the race for the next mayor of Pittsburgh. How can you help the city get out from under the shadow of all that controversy, especially if it gets worse before it gets better?
Well, again, this is the mandate that I spoke of earlier. I think that people not only want to see that type of change, they've been very disappointed in this administration. They've been disappointed by the behavior, the actions, and basically the inability to get things done. But there is also the expectation that they expect and demand change. So the best way to do it is lead by example. Bring the best people in or keep the best people that are there to create a city government that is one that is based on merit. Allow people to have a say in what it is that they want to see and create priorities neighborhood by neighborhood, and then hold government accountable to getting it done. You know, they say the best disinfectant is light. So opening and creating a transparent city government becomes critical, all the way to making sure that directors' meetings, which would occur every week, would be broadcast so people can see their government in action.
Do you think that you would have won the Democratic nomination, won the Democratic mayoral primary, if Luke Ravenstahl hadn't gotten out of the race?
I think that if Luke were in the race, we would have beat him even with a greater margin than we beat the three candidates that were in this race. We created this campaign back in September to do one thing, to defeat an incumbent mayor. What we knew was is that he would have more money than us for television and radio. He'd have more money, period. So we'd never be able to match him. But we knew how much money we would need in order to be able to get our message out. We exceeded that during this campaign. The other thing we did is we built the strongest field organization for any local race that the city has ever seen. We had over 700 people out in the field on election day. That would have helped to deliver the votes that we needed. And the third part of it is, after seeing the ads that he put out against me, I jokingly said yesterday that between his ads and the Wagner personal attacks, it was like an old studio wrestling match where the one guy has the chair and he's hitting you in the back of the head while the other guy's poking you in the eye and the referee's looking the other way. Those ads and the tone that he took and the tone that he would have taken in that campaign would have backfired. And I don't think that he'd have been able to control himself from making it personal.
Last question. What happens between now and November?
I get to watch some Penguins hockey. I'm going to the game Friday. I have not had a chance to see three periods of hockey since we signed in Ginla.
And I know you love hockey.
I love hockey, and I gave up. It's like I'm really looking forward to tonight's game. I'm going to spend time with my family this weekend. They're proud, and we have not had a chance to see each other much, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to thank my staff and the people that have worked, and then all summer long I'm going to travel around the city. We had people in every neighborhood who volunteered or wrote checks, and I'm just going to have fun going back, meeting with them, talking with them, getting their ideas of what this new Pittsburgh means. And then I'm going to do something else later in the summer. I'm going to reach out to those that supported Jack, Jake, and AJ and talk to them and figure out how we can really pull this together as one Pittsburgh.
City Councilman Bill Peduto, the winner of the Democratic mayoral primary in Pittsburgh. Congratulations on your victory. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining me in my cavernous campaign headquarters.
And more coming up here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.